listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us at All the Answers podcast, where we answer all your questions through the Akashic Records. We wanted to give you a little heads up that the first few episodes released here are going to be episodes 1, 6, and 7. That's because we felt like the content in episodes 6 and 7, which have to do with the coronavirus, were important to get out quickly. So you'll hear episodes 1, 6, and 7. And then after that, all the episodes released will be in order chronologically. Additionally, our sound quality is not excellent in some of these first few episodes because we were pulled away from our studio when Corona happened. So the longer you stick around episodes 8 and 9, things will be in order and sound will be amazing. So we hope you stick around. Enjoy.
Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
You know, something I like about podcasts is that, like, the ones I listen to, there is no formal end. Hello.
Hello.
We don't have to.
We're just beginning.
Yeah, we're just humans having a chit-chat.
That's questionable.
Yeah. What would you be if not a human?
A fox.
A fox.
I just got a fox onesie.
You did?
I did. You didn't see my little animation on Facebook?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I didn't know you had purchased that.
Yeah, I bought Jeff a bear onesie and myself a fox onesie.
I noticed that you guys were bowing a lot.
What was it called? The loop?
Oh, a boomerang.
A boomerang.
Right.
So that's why we were flipping our heads down and flipping them back up so you can see the heads. And then
okay.
We boomeranged that. So that was just silly.
Nice. Good times. So here we are. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm kind of proud of us. So I feel like I'll tell the people what we're doing.
Okay. Who are you?
Who fuck am I? And what the fuck is happening? So we're doing this podcast. The idea of the podcast, my name is Katie Rubin, for people who don't know.
And I'm Cassidy Brown, if you don't know.
Do you have a website?
I do.
And
it's getcassidybrown.com.
Oh my God.
Because cassidybrown.com was already taken by somebody who got married. Their last names were Cassidy and Brown.
Fuck those douchebags.
Yeah. And they're probably divorced by now.
Because they're terrible people.
Right.
We love you, Cassidy Brown, whoever the marriage people are.
I hope it goes well. I really do wish you all the best.
Peace and blessings. Namaste.
Yep.
Which is a lovely segue into, like, what is this podcast about? And so, you know, something that you and I have talked about a lot over the years, and that anyone who's ever met me has heard me ramble on about from time to time, is just this intersection between being, for myself, like a really spiritual lady who's also super irreverent and down to earth and in my, what I like to call, the lower self. So I am a spiritualist who believes that, you know, you get to fuck people and say the word fuck and be dirty sometimes and be bad and also be connected to this thing we call source or the universe or love or God, that there is no separation and that a whole integrated human being who is very spiritual doesn't have to be wind and fairies and all the woo-woo, whatever. Although the woo-woo tools, if you will, can be quite useful in terms of things like healing and getting psychic information and transformation, right? So I'm a person who loves the woo, but who also lives in the world, like very much in the three-dimensional lower self world. So the premise of the podcast is, you know, I do something called opening the Akashic Records. And for people who don't know what that means, the Akashic Records are essentially each individual human soul has an alignment to source, an energetic way that your soul lines up with God or source or the universe or love. Every human soul has individuated light beings whose job it is to, like, literally to keep track of everything that's ever happened to your soul ever. And this happens in a realm of consciousness that has a very high vibrational frequency. And this realm is called, and Cassidy's laughing already, which we'll talk about in a second.
We will.
Yeah. But this realm is called the Akashic Records. So I, as an Akashic Records reader, can tap into this realm with you, your soul and your soul's alignment to God. And in that space, I can hear any and see and know and feel everything about everything that's ever happened for you in the past, in the present, in the future. So if you're having, and I can bring strong, profound spiritual healing through for your body being soul or spirit while we're in that space, because I've been to 3 healing schools and I'm what they call a master spiritual healer now, which sounds very fancy and important. And I like that title. The point being, from that particular space, I find that I get a really strong healing energy for people, or several different kinds, and we can answer all kinds of questions. We can get guidance for people on any topic about anything. Now, is it like 100% for sure, scientifically proven, yet correct answers to questions? No. Why? Because life doesn't fucking work that way. People have free will. It's a real thing. People have choice. People have intelligence. So when people come to me and they want answers to questions, which is kind of, I'm getting the long-winded way to what the podcast is, we can get guidance about, it's going to be in your highest good more than likely to do the following thing. And, or we can get guidance about, if you choose this path, here's what the energy of that choice is going to be like for you. If you choose this, it'll be a little less of a yes, but kind of a no, but also fine. If you choose this third option, that's going to be tight in your heart and you're going to struggle. So people are like, how do you get answers? And why would you ever claim to get answers for people? And I say, I get insights for people. I get like, huh, that has a really light energy on it and will produce results that are positive. And I get answers on every range of the grayscale between no, definitely don't do that thing, and yes, that's the best choice you could ever make. Everything in between gets represented as well. So people often think like it's yes or no. And sometimes it is yes or no when a person asks a question, but oftentimes it's something way more vague and in the middle. So the premise of our podcast is we thought we'd start each episode with a question from somewhere, whether it's from a guest we have on or a question that we're just tossing around as human beings, open the Akashic Records here in the podcast, have me answer the question or get guidance for whomever's asking it right here before your ears, and then go from there and kind of see what that brings. All the while doing so in our sort of creative actor style, which we should talk about the fact that you are one and I am one. And
yeah. So my sort of role in all this, I feel, and you know, we're still going to hash out what our actual roles are because, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because we are human beings who exist right here and now in this moment.
Yeah.
We don't know, actually know the future. I feel like my role is the friendly skeptic, mm-hmm. not at all about, you know, shooting down the idea. Look, I've gotten readings from Katie. Clearly, I'm not rejecting the framework.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely on board. And I'm also very suspicious mm-hmm. of woo-woo bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy into when it doesn't feel true, when mm-hmm. it feels weirdly unconnected or ungrounded. But there's a lot of people out there who are putting that energy out there, and they still might be in touch with the real world, but I just don't vibe with it.
Right.
Now with Katie, is my favorite example of, I've always joked that she's the perfect combination of heart and fart. Because
which is my favorite
yes.
series of words in
right.
a row.
Is because yeah, you live in an absolutely most grounded kind of guttural grunt place. You're the one of the crudest people I know. You're one of the most base energy people I know, and also very high vibration, woo-woo, but without there just is not an airy-fairy energy about it. And I know I'm feeling that sounds a little judgy, like I'm shitting on the people who are airy-fairy, but it is based in sort of what I can believe in or buy into has to do often. Also, clearly, I'm vibing.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm dealing with energy. I'm psychically connecting or not connecting. So clearly, I'm buying into some framework that is not in the purely scientific realm.
Right.
But I still have a lot of, really?
Yep.
Is that true?
Right.
Right.
100%.
But I believe myself to be someone who has really good, what we would call common sense, even though that's a weird phrase, but you know, sort of real world, just does that pass the sniff test? Does that check out?
Right. Is there any logic in
is
what
there
you're
any
saying?
Logic, yeah.
Yeah.
Or just
intuitive.
And does it feel right to me? And with Katie, we get into conversations that are really funny and deep and sometimes a little arguey around the framework, but never
yeah.
from a place of anger, just from a place like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
So we thought we would tape that.
Yeah. And like be together in the conversations about that, because
right.
I feel like it's such a good, we together are a good representation of like any spiritualist with any
yeah.
little bit less of a spiritualist. Like human beings on the planet are all in such different places. places about what these words even mean. What the hell does spiritual even mean, depending on who you talk to?
Exactly. Does it mean religious, straight up into a very specific book? Or does it mean I believe in sort of a general sense of wildness?
And when you look at like the even what the general senses are between the different paths, they're so different. It's such a diverse array of what it means to quote unquote tap into anything.
Well, and also I just want to circle back to Katie brought up you.
Yeah.
You are Katie.
It's me here.
I'm not sure whether to speak about you in third person or first person.
You can do both.
Or the second would be the second.
Okay.
Where we met
is
in theater and in acting and in comedy more specifically.
Right.
And that is something that we have engaged on over the 10 years that we've known each other and been friends and immediately bonded. First time we were in a play together, we were in comedy. It was like, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where that sort of real, and it was a very base, rough, gut, gross, fluidy comedy.
Right. Like a bulbous, just like viscous.
Just like lancing a boil and shit comes out.
Just a shit stained, what's it called? Slip and slide.
A shit stained slip and slide of
mucus
comedy.
Mucus comedy.
A brilliant comedy. This is, everything we've said is complimentary.
Yes, clearly.
Anyway, and we've worked together ever since then in a lot of different ways. Currently, we do a lot of improv together, and that's also a place where we get to go past the boundaries of sometimes good taste and appropriateness.
Yeah, exactly. So we've done, have we done three plays together now? Hunter Gatherers at Capitol Stage in Sacramento, capstage.org, shout out. You Mean to Do Me Harm at SF Playhouse.
.org. And prior to that, we also did the North Plan at capstage.org, shout out.
Perfect. Wow, we have done three plays. That's cool. Yeah.
And some improv shows.
And a bunch a lot of improv rehearsal and a couple improv shows, and we're building on that now.
Yeah.
Oh, I love us. We're pretty rad. So we're both working artists in the, Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, who, are friends and talk about all kinds of things. And so our art connection and our artistic leanings and comedy leanings will always be influencing these conversations. So it's sort of like art, comedy, theater, consciousness all together in one conversation soup, but based in we're going to sort of start with the premise of who has a question and what do they want to know? And let's see what Katie Rubin, this one random lady, gets in the records about it.
And then what does Cassidy think about what Katie said?
Exactly. And we chit chat from there. I love the idea too. We've been talking about who would come on.
Right.
I love it if it's artists and if we can even get politicians and
social scientist type people or sociologists. Yeah. People who are commenting on society in some way, especially, and this is intentional. We're still framing what it is, but I really want to sort of put out there that especially if the question is something that maybe is more, I don't know, less appropriate, not appropriate is the wrong word, but less in our world, or maybe I'm not going to I'm not going to comment as strongly on, say, feminist issues as you or someone who is more versed in that concept.
Sure.
Or, say we're talking about transgender issues or anything about sexuality that is outside of my world, I can still comment on it because I'm a human being who has insight, but I don't feel like I want to represent
an expert.
Yeah, I don't want to be an expert because I'm an expert in life, but not in the narrower things that exist in life.
Well, so I hear you saying that you're a human being who has.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Keep forgetting about that.
Yeah. Well, what I mean by that is you have your filters, I have my filters and my dog has her filters as she eats your shoe and everyone has their filters. Hey, it's crazy.
Leave it.
Don't do it. Leave it. Good job. Come here. Come over here. Don't do that. Yeah, you're very adorable. We see you. I got a new dog and we're debating, is her name Steve, Squiggy, or Squizzle?
And I don't think it's Squizzle because I feel like Squizzle is a derivation of Squiggy.
Right.
Which you will end up calling her.
What about
if you call her Squiggy. Then you can say, what's up, Squizzle, or Squizzle my nizzle, or Squash Blossom, or anything with squat in it, and it'll still be true to the original name.
By the way, Cassidy Brown's name, your actual name is Cassidy Jamal Brown.
It is.
I tend to like to extend that into Cassidy Jamal Jackson Warner Kersey Brown.
Oh, you've added Kersey now.
I like to add as many.
We got to get Joyner in there.
Right. Cassidy
Jackson Warner Kersey
Joyner Kersey Warner Jamal Brown
all coming out of Jamal what was his name? Malcolm Jamal
Warner.
That's where it's all
from. The 1980s.
Yes.
When he was big on televisions.
He was
The Cosby Show.
Theo Cosby. Then later he had a TV show. I think he had like a space show where he was, I might be conflating him with a different like WB black show.
Okay.
Like of the early 90s. Huh. I feel like he might have been on a show where they were on a bar in space or something.
On a bar?
I might be. We're going to get back to that. We're going to do some research and bring it up at the next episode.
We're going to fact check it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on from that.
Okay. Letting go because we're not sure. Yeah. So that's how you got 97 names.
It's all good.
In my...
You're still just Kenny Rubin to me.
I know. Well, what can you do with that? There's not much to... Although...
Sabira.
And my middle name.
Anne.
Lauren.
Susan.
Lauren Hardy. Do you know my middle name?
Lauren Hardy.
You don't know my middle name.
Lauren Hardy. Those are two names.
Just wait. There's a story. So my name is Catherine Lauren Hardy Rubin. And my dad was pitching, wanted very strongly for my name to be Catherine Laurel and Hardy Rubin.
Wow. So you were a comedy legend already
from
Jump Street.
Get go. And my mother put the kibosh on that. He wanted it to literally be Catherine Lauren and Hardy Rubin. And my mother was like, you're an insane person. No, but I'll compromise with you and we'll do Lauren Hardy.
And then he could like slur it.
Exactly.
When he was in his cups.
Exactly.
Like, Lauren Hardy. Her name is Catherine Lauren Hardy Rubin.
Do you know how much money I would give for them to go back in time and have them change it to Laurel and Hardy?
Or maybe it could even be Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, that's kind of good. That's sweet.
Yeah. What if your name was Laurel Hardy and then your middle name was Ann? I'm sure there is a person out there who has that.
I wonder.
Yeah.
We got to look that up.
Because there's a journalist named Simon Schuster.
No.
Yeah. He's a current journalist. I don't know. He works for NPR or something. I heard a report from him. Simon Schuster. Simon Schuster is a major publishing company.
Yeah.
You know that's what he was named for.
What?
So he was destined to be somehow like in publishing or some literary.
But like what parent? I don't know. I'm like, as the parent of a kid, your last name is
Schuster. Oh, I sounded like you were going to say, I was like, Katie, is there something you haven't told me?
No, like.
As the parent of a kid, I believe.
No, but like, your last name is Schuster. And
you then go, you name Simon.
Kid Simon.
I mean, we've got a list of those. We all have a list from our childhood. Like, there was a kid at our school named Dayan Knight. Like, Dayan was her first name.
No.
Day Knight. Middle name, Ann.
No.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, what? What? Like, what? I'm actually curious. Like, what?
It's fun.
Okay.
I have a friend who just had a baby.
Yeah.
Named the child Atreyu. You know what that name is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Listeners, that is from films, cinematic histories, The Neverending Story.
Yeah.
And that is the name that, what's his name, yells out the window, Atreyu. No, that's the name of the horse.
Isn't Atreyu the luck dragon? Or is Atreyu the kid? Atreyu is
the luck dragon.
It's the luck dragon.
Okay, wait, let's get it straight. So there's the...
There's the horse.
The horse is Artax.
Oh, very well done.
Yes. The kid's name himself is...
Can't remember.
Don't remember. When he opens the window and yells into to the rain, his mother's name, it's like Rain Dancer or like Moon Beam.
I don't remember it all. I just remember Atreyu. And then, I think that was the name of the luck dragon.
It's either the luck dragon or
no,
his
that's
friend.
Falcor
is the luck dragon.
Damn it.
Atreyu is his friend?
Maybe it's the horse that goes down.
That's
and it's
Artax.
So... Oh, shit.
That's definitely...
But Atreyu might be the kid.
I don't think it is.
Katie's going to look it up as we speak. We'll edit out the pause.
There will be no pause. Okay, wait. Have you listened while I'm looking for this to My Favorite Murder? Those guys?
A couple of episodes. Didn't grab my attention, though I wholeheartedly approve of what they're doing. It just wasn't my thing.
Got it. The reason I ask... Atreyu is portrayed by Noah Hathaway.
He's the kid.
It's... Okay, Atreyu is the protagonist of the mysterious book that Bastion reads. Bastion is the kid.
Okay.
And remember, he's reading a book. And Atreyu is the character in the book who he identifies with.
And then kind of he embodies within the story.
Right.
Right.
Who he has Atreyu has the horse named Artax.
Right. So he basically plays Atreyu, like... Because he kind of
not really.
Is in the real world and then he's in the story.
Not really. They're two different people.
Same actor, though?
Different actor.
Okay.
You know, I can't even show you the
poster. I saw the movie once. I wasn't a huge, like, crazy.
Oh, God,
fan.
I was deep in it. Bastion, reading Atreyu's story in the real world, experiences everything Atreyu does. This proves Fantasia's solution and the Empress's cure in bringing Bastion to Fantastica to give the Empress a new name.
Are you getting more embarrassed with every sentence?
I'm really not. Atreyu plays a prominent role in the second half of the novel as Bastion travels Fantastica far and wide as its savior. They quickly become friends, but as Bastion continues to use Arin, he becomes arrogant and gradually loses his memories.
I think I have to see this movie again.
Wait, just last little chunk here. Loses his mind. When Bastion has lost even his name, Atreyu and Falcor offer favorable testimony to the powers of Arin, who allow Bastion's return to the human world. With their friendship restored, Atreyu promises to finish the stories Bastion has begun in Fantastica. That is a deep movie.
Yeah, I feel like that's our jumping off point now.
Oh my God.
You're talking about like identity and like how you exist and your name.
Right. And like which dimension you're in or reality that you're in. You know what I mean? Which brings up the thing of like, oftentimes when I'm working with people in the Akashic Records, we are definitely not just in this dimension and not just in this reality ever. And that's an interesting way I spend a lot of my time. You know, like you just came over today to tape this. And right before, I was in a whole nother dimension with a client helping her pull a bunch of grief out of her system from the realm of God, just like, and like seeing all the stuff that I see when I see it. And I have a weird life is my point.
I also want to appreciate that Katie's telling me this, looking at me, seeing the little light smirk at the corner of my mouth and understanding exactly where that lives. I think where it lives is like, that sounds so stupid, but also sounds amazing. Stupid in the like same way that like that whole reading the story when I said, aren't you embarrassed by that story? Because it's so like, sounds like a fantasy novel. Uh-huh. And it like hits all these tropes of like a fantasy novel.
Right.
And so when you're describing it so wonderfully, not like as a practical description, you're like, oh, and this is what we did. We pulled out the grief from the level of the 13th apostle or whatever. Uh-huh. You don't need to convince me of it.
Yeah.
You're not like, let me explain. That's, I think, part of it is the energy of conviction that I don't trust often. But with you, I do trust it because it's not conviction. It's just like, no, this is what I did.
Oh, I see.
It becomes factual by the way you relay it. Uh-huh. Rather than, and I think what I respond to sometimes when I don't believe something or I'm finding something suspicious is there's an energy of, maybe, I don't know why there's always breath in the voice, but it feels like I have to convey by my persona the truth of this.
That's called pretense.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a pretense that some people carry that when you're in other dimensional realms, it's somehow like special and significant and it matters a lot.
And now if you just said that same sentence, it's special and it's significant and it matters a lot.
Uh-huh.
Because I believe that that's true for you. That it is special and significant.
Well, here's how I frame it. It's not even that it's special or significant or matters a lot. It's more that for me, it's just, it is. It just is. And so I use it as it's there. This is the whole point of this conversation and this podcast is to say the realm of God or the oneness or the love or the universe is very much right here, right now and available to help us. It's just that it's like I tell clients all the time, like if you're in trauma or sadness or grief, or you have a block, emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever kind of block, that block exists in your body, being soul, spirit, just as a heaviness. It's an energy that isn't allowing the rest of your energy to flow like a boulder in a river. So there's nothing special and fantastic and about a boulder in a river. You just move the boulder. Like if you want to build a dam, if you want to break a dam down, you just get your fucking shovel and your hammer and you break a dam down.
So you're psychic dynamite is what you're
That's what I'm saying. I'm basically saying that.
I think that's the name of the podcast.
Psychic dynamite. I don't hate that. But you see what I'm saying is that they're practical tools that are so real to me and so matter of fact for me that belies pretense. I'm not pretentious about it because there's nothing pretentious about it to me. It's tools to make people's lives better. It's not special and amazing. Although, sure, it's pretty fucking different and pretty amazing in certain ways, but only amazing in the sense that we don't walk around this three-dimensional reality doing that shit all the time. Right. So it's quote unquote amazing just because it's different.
Right.
But I don't frame things that are...
Penicillin is amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's also a practical tool that saved people's lives.
Right. And we don't talk about penicillin.
No, we really fucking don't. We don't worship at the feet of penicillin.
Right.
We just go like, thank God for fucking penicillin. At least that's what I do.
Right. Because you're getting the clap constantly and you need it to treat.
Well, I'm a dirty, dirty whore.
Right. So we're clear. So I just wanted to make sure we got some of that in there.
Well, the people need to know what's true.
they need to know all the aspects of Katie.
Of course. So, you know,
I wish I were a dirty, dirty whore.
I'm a
potential.
No. In spirit, you're definitely a dirty, dirty whore. You just don't get as much as I do at this moment.
Right.
But we've had moments where it's reversed.
That's true.
Where you're just banging the whole city.
Yep.
And I'm taking naps on that couch. Yep. Just like, tell me more, Cassidy, on the phone while I'm sad petting my cat.
Yeah.
Literal cat, not my vagina.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
you might be doing both. I don't know, because we're on the phone and you're not sharing everything. Because we don't have that relationship.
I promise, as your friend, to never masturbate while we're talking.
I will make that vow as well.
I will never one time touch my labia or anything in that region while we're socializing.
While we're in conversation.
I won't do it.
I mean, if we're talking on the phone and you got an itch to scratch, and I don't mean that metaphorically, I literally mean you need to like reach down and just give a little scritchity scratch. I'm okay with that.
Okay. What if I narrate it a moment at a time while it's happening?
Even funnier.
Okay. So that's fine.
If there's comedy involved, all bets are off. We can do it the hell we want.
Perfect.
Do you agree? I mean, because I need to get consent from you if I were to do the same.
Fair point. Yeah.
And I'm okay with any.
Yep. I'm good with that. Okay. Scratching is always funny.
Yeah.
Right? And scratching implies, I think, possible sweat and possible odor.
Yeah.
Both funny.
So also need to clean.
Need for showering.
Right. Right. And that's generally my state.
I need to be cleaner?
Yeah.
You're gross.
Yeah.
Well, you're a dude.
I'm a dirty boy. I do identify as a male.
Okay. Got
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Great. You do have all the parts.
I have the he, him pronouns.
And
yeah. And I have a penis.
Oh, that's what you're calling it. I was going to say a penile implant. I don't know why.
No, it's not an implant at all. Not for the, if someone needs that, that's great. Good for them. I'm glad they're able to get what they needed.
Correct.
I do not need or have.
Because you've already got one.
I've got, it's fully functional.
Nature provided correctly and appropriately for
currently
you.
Currently fully functional.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
I don't mean actively right this second in function, but like it is.
Functional.
Yeah.
It could function.
It is passively functional right now. Like it would work. Were any demands to be made upon it.
Okay.
And any biological demands.
Oh, so let's talk about your dating life for a second. Are you seeing anybody? Just in cat, you don't say names.
Yeah.
No, your face really. Was just, I mean, like, what the fuck kind of question is that?
Big jump.
It's not a big jump. We're talking about your dick. We can talk about your dating life.
I mean, not really. I'm sort of in sort of like vague courtship energy with a few different people, but it's not. Nothing, there's nothing really, I would say, actively like happening. Like,
yeah,
I'm totally dating this woman, or you know, it's got people that I'm like doing a little of the app thing, but that's not really happening. Mm-hmm. That just always sucks. That always ends up being like, I've made a lot of friends from the dating apps.
Wow,
yeah,
it's kind of great.
Yeah, I'm not shitting on friends.
Yeah,
I'm like, but there are multiple people that like went out a few times, maybe. Got sexy or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, really, really cool. We should hang out.
Mm.
You know, I should introduce you to my friend or whatever, you know, like
right.
being like good buddies.
Buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of friends from that reality.
I kind of love that that happens. I know that it's not the initial aim, but I love
but
that.
This is something I pride myself on throughout my life is that I have a pretty good track record with being very good friends with former lovers.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's really
like
great.
Close friends, maintaining very, like, only have a few people where it's like, and there's no animosity out there, but there's a few people who maybe it's just like, yeah, we can walk away from each other completely just to, for whatever reason, not in each other's life.
Totally. What do you attribute your ability to do that to? Because I can do that with certain people and not do it with others also. And some people ask me like, how can you do that? And I go, because I want them in my life bad enough that I'll keep my heart open enough to them to be their bud. But I wonder what it's like for you.
Well, I think it's the same thing when part of it has to do with my overall nature, which is I've, for the last 20 years of my life or so, been very much a sort of non-monogamous person. So even if I was in a serious relationship, I was still in an open relationship.
Yeah.
That So there's always an energy of like, I can love you at many different levels.
Yeah.
And you can love other people and there isn't a conflict inherent there. So even if you split up with someone and then they're with someone else, like I think for people who are more deeply monogamous, like that feels like a challenge maybe.
Right.
Like if you're relating to someone else, if your ex is relating, you know, now they're relating to someone else. So I can't be part of that.
I see.
At all.
Yeah.
So I think I'm projecting things that I don't experience on other people right now.
Well, you're guessing at it.
Yeah, I'm guessing at it. But myself, I feel like it doesn't mean I don't experience jealousy and envy. Absolutely. Yeah. Like people I've broken up with and then they're with someone else. I'm like, God, it was so good when we were together. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And now I'm not getting that from them.
Yeah.
And that person's getting that from them.
Right.
I have feelings about that, but it doesn't interfere with my love for that person.
Right.
And often for their new partner. You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a concept of what we call compersion, if you've ever heard that.
Tell me
more.
We're
going off on a tangent of non-monogamy, but that's what we're doing.
Well, this whole thing is who we are, you know?
Yeah. Compersion is the basic concept. I think it was an invented word by like, I don't know, Dossie Easton and the Ethical Slut. I may be making that up, but like somebody in the poly world made up the term of compersion, but it applies outside of sex and romance too. And it's just, it's the joy you get from another's joy.
Oh, I see.
And it's...
You have told me about that.
Yeah. And I think, it's hard to not conflate that with like codependency and stuff like that, but it can be unconflated with that.
I buy that.
We're just like, I can feel compersion for Katie.
Yeah.
Even though we're not romantically or sexually involved.
Yeah.
But if something good is happening for you,
because
you are a very dear friend of mine.
Right.
And I just go, yay. Even if parallel to that yay feeling is envy, you know, oh, you're getting laid or you got cast in a show and I didn't or whatever.
Yeah.
I can have both the joy of like, oh, yes, that makes me actually literally just happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting nothing else from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting is that you're happy.
Yeah.
And it's weird that that's not just a given for most people all the time.
Yeah, it's a good point. I feel like, there's other words for that, right? We could just say like empathy.
Empathy is a little different.
Sort of different from empathy.
And I think compersion was literally like the joy you get from your partner's joy.
I see. Your romantic partner.
Right. But I kind of expanded out. Like, that's just a general thing.
I mean, I look at my dog over there and I'm just happy when she's chewing on the thing because she's so happy chewing on the thing.
Yeah.
Is that
conversion? You're not getting anything. You're getting cute vibes. So you get the joy of that.
Yeah.
And you're watching it. So you're getting like, but also the basic underlying feeling of knowing she's happy.
Yeah. I just love that.
Yeah.
Also, couldn't we just call that love? Isn't that like, if you look at a kid, right? When parents have kids, human mammals make other people that are smaller than them called babies. You've heard about this. When they have the babies.
Katie and I, neither of us have kids. And you don't know us.
Yeah. And we don't want,
Not really.
Neither of us are making any people.
I doubt it.
Separately.
At this point.
Yeah. Or with my dog or together.
My sperm's getting old. So.
Do you think it's still?
No. Men apparently get to just keep doing it.
Yeah, you douchebags.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Fuck us.
Anyway, that people have the babies. And then everything the baby does, the parent loves unconditionally.
And other people are like, that baby's a nightmare.
That baby. Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying that's, right?
That's a form of compersion.
Too. Right.
And
and
compersion is just more specifically applied to romantic and sexual.
Got it.
And it doesn't preclude jealousy, but it can be concurrent with, but it can't. It can help to actually mitigate and or even eradicate jealousy.
Now,
if you can tune into compersion, jealousy or envy.
I get that.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. This is cool because it brings me to a thing that happened last night that I'll tell a brief story about that I think is great. And we could maybe use this as a jumping off point for to ask a question if we want to do that. But so, okay, without getting too specific, I had a difficult theater experience professionally that you and I have talked about in recent months where there were the simplest way I can put it without implicating individual humans is to say that I got injured. And then there were some people in the team that I got injured on who were less than supportive of my health and well-being than I would have liked.
Yeah.
They were mean from my perspective.
Yeah.
I ran into one of them last night at an event at Playground, which is a staged reading series of new work. works done. You can go to Playground. Like
10 minute plays.
Playground-sf.org. Shout out. They're great. It's a great organization. Jim Kleinman, what's up? Anyway, I ran into this person and we had a conversation where the person was telling me, when you got injured and we all had to deal with this play, I was like, I guess you could say they kept calling me the lead in both of the two acts. Mm-hmm. So my characters were driving the narratives forward of these two stories of the two different acts. When you left us, this person from the play said, we all went into like go time, like head to the ground, handle it.
Survival mode.
Now, this particular person happened to have sent me an accidental text that was meant for their friend, but it got sent to me and it really was disparaging of me. It said like, what do I say to this woman? Like, I don't want to, we don't have to quote it, but it was not a nice text for me to get when I was injured at home, trying to text my castmates and go, how are you guys? Break legs, have a good opening night. And the response was like, I want this bitch to leave us alone, essentially. Broke my heart a little bit. It's been months now since this happened. I ran into that person. That person was incredibly generous and lovely and wonderful. We ran into each other last night. But what's back to the compersion point, what they said was, I was unable in the moment to hold two competing energies, I now realize. One of, I'm panicked and afraid and have to go into warrior survivor mode right now. Hmm. And simultaneously, I feel for you, my friend who's injured.
Right.
I couldn't hold both. And when I sent that text to my friend, I was trying to find a way to both by processing.
She was actually asking, how do I hold both?
Yes. But I, Katie Rubin, got to experience, I'm going to heat this up while we're talking. I got to experience the non-bothness of that.
Right.
And instead got to hear
the exclusive.
Yeah. The anger, the hurt at me, and the judgment of me.
This is going to sound great.
What?
That the fan in the back.
Oh.
The micro, it's fine.
People will survive. So anyway, the point being, it was such a good example of, and this leads really great into spiritual conversations, the concept of, and I want to relate this back to what you were saying, that when this person said to me, I couldn't hold both, something that we teach a lot in healing work is that healing all happens through the heart. And the heart is the organ through which we connect to source or God, because the heart is the organ through which love occurs.
Okay.
The energy of love, if you will. So God is love, the universe is love, love is oneness. All of those phrases are phrases that mean the same thing to me, or versions of the same thing. So when a person like yourself can hold opposing energies in the spiritual teachings and the schools I've been to, that speaks to a very open, big heart that was either really well parented as a kid, which you and I have talked about.
And I acknowledge that I believe that is the case.
Or has done a lot of spiritual healing work and emotional growth work and therapy or healing work.
Which I believe is the case with Katie Rubin.
Thank you, sir. So when you say that you can do compersion, I hear like you've got a big open heart that can hold a lot of competing energies.
Right.
And you're not afraid to have love while you also have whatever else, jealousy, envy, pain, whatever it is. Now, most human beings have to really work to get to that place.
Right. You got
to
choose one at a time.
Right.
And, you know, probably in the moment you're doing one at a time, but the ability to, you know, switch back and forth maybe between them.
Yeah, totally.
Or maybe not. Maybe they are totally concurrent with each other. I don't know.
Well, you, Cassidy Brown, can experience them concurrently, and therefore they're occurring concurrently for you in your heart.
Right.
If someone can't experience them concurrently, I would argue you could get to where you could through healing work, through therapy, crying, processing your old pain, or spiritually crying and processing your old pain.
Right.
However you want to fucking do it, that's what has to happen for a heart to be open enough to be able to hold two energies that are seemingly opposing.
Yeah.
Which also brings me to an interesting other point. Have you heard the concept that, I can't remember who said it, we need a fact checker already.
Yeah.
Someone who can
hire an intern.
We should. That intelligence is defined as the ability to hold two opposing ideas at once.
Huh.
I come back to that idea a lot, that like, if that's true, that you could be like God and science, you know, for example,
right.
Or, you know, metaphysics and physics, or I don't know, death and life, or love and hate.
Right.
You know, any seemingly dualistic or opposing ideas, you can hold them both in the same space as both potentially existing, that you're in the space of, I would call it infinite possibility or awareness, but this article called it intelligence. Hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I don't feel like I have a comment on that one. That one, it doesn't ring true or false to me. It just sort of
bounces off you.
That sort of sits with me. So I'm not going to respond.
Yeah.
Not out of negative, just like, sounds good.
I think it's just a fascinating idea and question, because as someone who has learned that in order to soften the rough edges of any dualistic problem, mm-hmm. I hate Jenny because she hurt my feelings.
Yes.
Hate creates separation between you and them.
You can still be upset with Jenny for hurting your feelings, but there's another parallel thing that you also could engage with.
Which
is that what you're going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is, if I'm in separation from Jenny because I hate her, the
anybody
way...
Anybody named Jenny, we apologize. You're a theoretical construct at this moment.
I need to work with that through my heart to get to where I don't hate her anymore. I can be mad at her and have needs that need to get expressed, but I can love her simultaneously. I don't know how you get to that through the mind.
Yeah.
For me.
I mean, I think I get to it through the mind, but I may not. Like, I feel like...
Yeah. I think the mind is your doorway into your
right.
heart.
This is something we can talk about now or at another time, is my own struggles with my, like, the mental, that I think I am actually in touch with my feelings, but I do it. I absolutely process it through a mental,
right.
verbal, structural place, which can be a challenge in my life sometimes.
Sure, totally.
I do want to, I think we should get to a thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
How far are we? Like 40 minutes? This is great.
Perfect.
You're still here. You're about to get some download.
Now that's why I was mentioning my favorite murder, because those girls would go on forever just chit-chatting away. And you always have the choice to fast forward to the murder part.
Right.
Or to listen to them chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, my favorite murder girls, you guys rock and we're stealing your structure.
Yeah. I think that's what it is for me, is why that one's not my thing, is I don't care that much about murder. So like mm-hmm. their chit-chat isn't engaging enough to me to wait around to get to the murder, because I don't really care about getting to the murder.
Totally.
Whereas other ones that are chit-chatty, and I because I know what they're going to get to, is something I also like.
Oh, interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I hope you like us personally, because that is my need as a three, for you to like me.
Oh my God, we have to talk.
We will do anything, but not right this second.
Fine.
I feel like we should have a whole episode.
Let's put a question on the table.
Let's do it.
So what do we want? What questions do we have?
Yeah.
We were talking when you first came in about Jews and their bowels.
Yep. Don't think we did that one.
No question there.
No.
We could ask if my cat is actually sick. What if we do something that's big or relevant to the people and the world and something?
Or but I don't know if I'm ready for, like, you know,
Trump.
How do we solve Trump?
Yeah.
That's maybe too big a thing to attack now.
Yeah.
In case it's not clear, we're both very liberal progressive people who absolutely despise without any, I can hold hate, apparently.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well
apparently
done.
I can hold hate.
Yep, great.
Because I absolutely despise everything that the man represents and is.
Mm-hmm.
And expresses. It's more what he expresses. Mm. Anyway, but bigger questions.
And I would frame actually my relationship to that a little differently.
Okay.
But we could articulate that a different time.
Okay.
I can experience hate about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I frame it a little differently.
Yeah.
Because I have such a spiritual perspective on what's happening with the political environment, which is this. I'll say it because this is interesting. I actually have a joke about this in my stand-up set. Anyway, you've probably heard it, which is the notion that I really buy into the idea that Trump is part of the expression of a metaphoric boil popping.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is happening culturally in the spiritual and collective unconscious right now. In other words, all this darkness and separation and hate, like anti-Semitism and narcissism and megalomaniacal behaviors, they've been living under the surface of our collective unconscious. Trump is here as like God or the universe, like squeezed the sides of the boil of all of that hidden shit.
And I just hate the pus.
Of course.
think he is the pus.
He is the pus. You can hate the pus, but yeah. The point is the pus is coming out.
We hope to be drained.
I know.
The swamp that is not draining.
I know.
But it's taking longer than we want. Yeah. Let's ask a question.
But what? I'm saying this is important and could lead to a question.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this is so happening right now. There's no reason to blow past it. Like, this is happening for the world. Like, we're on topic with this. It's not, a problem to discuss this,
right.
Really. Anyway, the point just being like, I'll just say this last piece about it. In many generations, there have been spiritualists like myself who I want to acknowledge, who have said, yeah, but right now it's like the boil is being popped and we're just flushing out the shit, man. And after the 70s, we're going to be good.
Right.
After the golden era, we're going to be good. Everybody thinks like, oh, this generation's version of like, let's pop that boil and we're good is going to work. And I'm acutely aware of the fact that like, maybe not, but also it does feel that way to me.
It's just another boil. One of the many boils.
Right, maybe. Or maybe just like a more advanced boil or a deeper boil that's taking us to a deeper level.
I mean, we've had horrifying people in our American past.
Yeah.
We just didn't have the internet, so we didn't have it as well documented. But I mean.
And that may be a great gift.
You know, Andrew Jackson is probably as horrifying an individual who did as horrifying of things as this current president does.
Yeah.
But we just don't have as clear a picture of it, A, because we're not living in it, and B, and C, because we as middle-class white Americans are less affected by it.
For sure.
And we're also, had I lived then, would be less affected by it, so I don't know it as well. But it does seem horrifying now because it's what's happening.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if it's worse or better, and who gives a shit? It's not, we don't need to compare it to another time.
Right.
It is what it is right now, and it doesn't feel good.
No, sure doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the question we should ask, just to be as meta as fucking possible, because it's our first episode, is something literally around like the why of this, what we're doing.
Oh, cool.
Or,
the why.
Well, the why or the sort of, maybe it's not why, but what?
I guess I know that for myself.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm curious.
No, I think I know too, because it's, for me, why? Because it's fun. Honestly, it's interesting.
Totally.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's a deeper truth or maybe guidance towards like how to,
where we
should put our attention. Mm. Or what is our, what could be, like what are the possibilities?
Yeah. And what's in terms of the purpose of it or the aim of it or the.
Yeah, those are good questions, Katie.
I'm just trying to get what you're asking.
I know. This is good.
Yeah.
But I may not be able to finish my sentence.
Okay. Well, because we could just open the records of the podcast.
Yeah, and just say, what's up?
And be like, so what do you want us to know about what this is and why this is?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that.
Okay, great.
Just as, because I feel like for our first episode, it should be kind of
podcast related.
Yeah, what we are.
Yeah.
Who we are.
I like
and
it.
Then from there, maybe if anybody's listening, then they'd be like, oh, I have a question. They'll send it in.
I love that.
Or, we have a friend who calls us up and says, keep me off the record, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Or keep me on the record, I have a question.
Yeah. I love it. All right. So I'm going to open the records. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to say this prayer out loud. And so I think we're going to open the records. By the way, this is for people's information. Everything that is a conscious entity has records.
Okay.
And people go, how? You just started a podcast. And I go, I don't fucking know. They just fucking do. Get out of your head, you cynical douchebag. And just.
That was the answer for me.
Just believe or don't. It's fine. You can resist. But the point is, the podcast in theory would have a Akashic record, so we can ask it.
Right.
For example, here are other things that have records. An address. So this apartment has Akashic records. A forest. Anything that has like a placeness.
This little dog in your lap.
This poochie roach has a definite records. I've opened them already. My cat, definite records.
And they're angry records.
Real pissed. Because I just got a little diggity dog for the people to know. And my cat is like, bitch, what? That's how she is. Anyway, so groups of people, any group that gathers for any period of time has records. It's because time is not linear and blah, blah, blah.
So they're using up a lot of server space to store these records.
Correct. Good thing there's infinite server space in the infinite realm of consciousness. Yep. But
fair point. It's called that.
So we're going to open the records of our podcast. I do get a yes that that is a good way to go.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this prayer out loud. And then the second part of the prayer, I have to say quietly. So I'm going to say that when that happens.
We'll just have silence for a moment.
People can survive that.
Yeah, it's good. Right? They can sit and meditate with this in their ears.
That's good. There's also, I should say for people to know, a bunch of different Akashic Record prayers. We're going to use one of them today. This is one from Dr. Linda Howe that you can find at akashicstudies.com. There are a number of people who have prayers that help you open the Akashic Records, and I'm going to use different ones as we go through episodes of this, but today we'll use this one just because it's here and I like it.
Is it okay if I won't do it during the prayer time because that would be interrupting, but like I want to kind of describe what I'm seeing sometimes, and it's kind of enjoyable. Like,
yes.
I feel like Katie a few moments ago was saying something and then her head shot to the left.
Yeah.
Which is sort of her, I believe her version of the saying yes. It's like it, that's the,
yeah,
like the records or whatever it is saying, yep, that's the way to go.
Correct.
And I've seen it happen many a time in conversations with Katie. If Katie just can check in, because
yeah,
it doesn't always take it full on prayer. You can just kind of
tap in,
just like, you know, turn on the headphone for a moment and it'll be like, yeah, I got some information for you.
Exactly.
And so it's fun to watch Katie just kind of every once in a while go, nope, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Or like breath will shoot in sometimes, yeah, or like weird sniffing sounds will occur.
Yeah. And I'll do a bunch of those happen.
Yeah.
All kinds of
and they all mean different things. I feel like they're all, but I won't interrupt during the thing, but sometimes I might stop and go, what you're seeing now, if you were sitting with me right now, you'd see Katie twitching, salivating, and her head shooting to the right, saying, no, that is not where we want to go.
Additionally, there's urine dribbling from her.
She has no control over any of this.
No, urine means maybe.
Urine needs, can we pause? I have to pee.
Head to the left is yes. Head to the right is no. Urine dribbling through my pants is like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Think about it. Wait to decide. It's like, what's in the magic eight ball?
Exactly. Reply hazy. Go
check
pee.
Again later. All right, we're going to do this. And so let's all take a deep breath into our low belly just for a moment. Great. Just that gets us present to the emotional space, which is the doorway and the middle point between the spirit and the body, the emotions. And so from there, connected to our emotions through the low belly breathing, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Cassidy and Katie's podcast in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Cassidy and Katie's podcast through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Cassidy and Katie's podcast have for Cassidy and Katie's podcast. And now I'm just going to go quiet for about 30 seconds while I say the quiet part of this prayer internally. Okay. So the records of our podcast are now open. And it's cool because, so usually for me, what happens, just to describe this for people, is I tend to be a very kinesthetic healer, which means my awareness psychically and emotionally of other people's energy is very physical for me. So if you have a thing going on with you, I will experience that in my body. And so when I open anybody or place or being or dog's records, I get an initial kinesthetic or somatic experience of what that person's records are like. And so just to describe this, the records of our podcast feel very so spacious and light that it has like no form at all, which is actually known in spiritual realms as being quite evolved. Like when an entity or a person or a being is like super spacious, it means they're not overly attached to any one thing. They're not trying to control any outcomes. They're like the space of infinite possibility, frankly. And that's kind of the energy. This is a very light energy. It's very expansive. So we're just asking, I'm just describing what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, appreciate it. I also giggled because you said it was formless, which is kind of how I felt like the whole last hour has been.
Yeah.
Utterly formless. So this is good. That's not a criticism.
Totally.
Just an observation.
So we're going to ask now the lords, masters, and teachers of the Akashic Records of Katie and Cassidy's podcast. So we're sort of looking at the question like, what is this podcast doing? What is it for? Who is it for?
I do want to know that.
Right?
It's good.
What is its aim? Okay. What is it for? Who is it for? And so I'm just kind of dropping in and allowing myself to feel and receive awareness as it comes. So I'll just listen for a moment so that I can channel direct and not be coming from my own perceptions or ego. So there is a thing happening on your planet now. This is the record keepers talking, whereby the spiritualists are becoming more creative and the creatives are becoming more spiritual. And you see this evidence in the young generation that has been more recently birthed in the form of human beings. They incarnated already advanced. They are steps and steps and steps ahead of where you and, you know, Cassidy and Katie, where you were when you incarnated. In other words, spirituality and creativity are no longer going to be perceived as being separate in any way or different in the future that we envision for you as a race of people, of beings. We being the record keepers, the beings of light, the higher consciousness that is supporting the evolution of the earth and its consciousness. Because by the way, the earth has a soul and a spirit of its own that is evolving every minute. So this is a conversation about consciousness and creativity for the purpose of unifying those two energies and breaking down the walls of perceived separation that exists between them, which of course is Katie Rubin's entire sort of life aim, not of her own egoic making. This is like her assignment. This is what she agreed to when she incarnated, was to be a voice for this unity concept, to be a voice for, hey, there is no separation in reality between anything ever. You can be a table or a dog or a murderer. It's all truly one energy. And even a murderer, it comes from consciousness and can be facilitated toward a higher vibrational version of itself. So you could take a murderer because it's of the essence of everything. You could take a murderer to a higher form of itself where it maybe didn't need to murder anymore.
Okay. Which would be preferable.
Which would be preferable and ideal in the realm of unity, where all things are one and where we're not looking to separate from one another or from energies apart. We're looking to experience unity and oneness in that realm, which many people call God's realm or the realm of the divine or the universal realm, or consciousness, the realm of consciousness itself. Because if you think scientifically, all molecules are just molecules. So it's a murderer molecule or a table or a dog. It's all molecules. So is there separation? Not on a molecular cellular level, not really. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, there isn't. Now, some molecules get tightened up and bogged down and made heavy, and then they make choices that don't create more unity. They make choices that create separation, which isn't as fun. Okay, so the aim of this podcast is to, it's not an aim. The energy of this podcast is the unified space where spirit or self or consciousness, self with a capital S, and creative fluid self-expression come to be known and understood as one thing. I mean,
great.
Questions?
I want to restate what I just heard. How does that sound to you?
Great.
So what I, the sort of overly simplified version of what I just heard is that the sort of thrust of the podcast, and I use the word thrust because I live in a male world that uses language just like thrust. The sort of energy of the podcast is to sort of express the bringing together of spirituality and creativity, and to because they aren't separate.
Correct.
To express that they are already together, but we might have to, with words, linguistically link them, bring them together through our conversation, or express that unity.
What you will encounter in the process of building this project, or what you will encounter in the process of being the conduits through which this project comes to being in three-dimensional reality, is your own and other people's resistances to the idea that, to the awareness that spirituality and creativity are one thing. There will be resistance to that for you and for many people listening. So the purpose of the conversations you're having is to explore for the people listening in the realm that they can hear, aka three-dimensional reality, where you have ideas and you disagree and I think this and you think that, to explore in that realm what is in the realm of consciousness already done and very obvious. Mm-hmm. It is very clear to us here in the realm of oneness that all things are one, but it will not be clear to many of you asking questions and listening and to yourselves from time to time. This is the purpose of this. This is the purpose of this.
Great. Fun.
Cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and I feel like for Katie and I, the concept of creativity, maybe not for you. I don't know. I'm going to speak for you for a moment. And you can argue with me on that.
Sure.
I feel like a big aspect of the phrase creativity is humor, is laughter.
Yeah.
Is the expression of laughter, right, as the sort of primary thrust of both of our creative lives has been more about humor and laughter than necessarily about what we might call drama or, like, you know, engaging in the, I mean, you can still engage in the heavier beats of life
through comedy,
through laughter. Mm-hmm. But I'm just, and whether that's going to be the case in this podcast, we shall see. But I'm aware that we can't help but try to be funny. Yeah.
We're funny fuckers.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I am a hilarious fucker.
Really?
My O face is
incredible.
Insane.
God, maybe that should be the image up for our podcast, is your O face.
My O face.
Yeah.
Actually, I've never seen my O face.
It's just you.
So I've never done like a video of myself.
So then how do you know it's hilarious?
I was just riffing.
Okay.
I lied. I'm going to be honest with you guys right now. A moment ago, I lied.
Great. Now, do we have any other questions for the record?
Oh, while they're open,
podcast?
Sorry.
Because we can close them and not have more questions.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
It's a procedural question.
All right.
Is it okay for me to interrupt the Ascended Masters? Or I'm not using the right words, but I'm going to use different phrases for every different time I refer to
And I'll articulate, but I'll explain to you what's what. Because if you say the Ascended Masters, that's actually a different thing.
That's a separate.
And we can talk about it.
Right.
It's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you interrupt them when?
Just like when you're delivering information. If I want to be like, is that, can I talk to them like I talk to Katie? Can I talk to it? Can I talk to the...
I'll tell you who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Yes is the answer. Although sometimes it might be helpful for the listener and for me if you could let the transmission complete like it just did.
Yeah.
And then we can talk all you want.
Sure.
And then we can ask again anything we want.
Yeah.
That would help me out.
Yeah, it's better. I'm pretty sensitive to letting things finish, but sometimes I'm going to be like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
Sometimes, and it might not have finished when I ask that question.
I understand. Just do your best.
That's okay.
Do your best not to. It's like being polite with a person that you respect.
Oh, I don't understand that concept.
Yeah, you're going to have to go. So that's fine.
Yeah.
Do we have other questions for it? And let's talk about who you're asking, because that's people are going to wonder about that too.
Sure.
So the concept in teachings about the Akashic Records is that any records, remember, we're sort of, all of these words to describe this thing, this place, this realm are very inadequate as far as how I experience this space. Words are so inadequate. But for the sake of trying to articulate things, the concept about the records is that in the records of any person, place, thing, entity, being, whatever, there are individuated beings of light. There are lords, masters, and teachers. All of those, the lords, masters, and teachers, they are all beings of light. And sometimes there are beings of light called the loved ones. Now, these are just names that human beings have given to what those human beings have perceived through their filters in the records. I myself tend to like to leave it a little less defined than that. I like to go, well, I'm perceiving these words from the higher realms in the records.
Right.
Or I would frame it like, let's ask the record keepers.
Right.
That would encompass the lords, masters, teachers, and loved ones.
Okay.
So, but really, to simplify it further, what we're really doing is talking to individuated aspects of the one.
Right.
We're talking about pieces, if you will, which doesn't work, but we'll say that.
Right.
Pieces of God that are showing up as this thing called the records. It's just a way for the human animal to tap into source.
Yeah.
That's all.
Great. No, that helps.
But the record keepers would be a great way to say, can I ask the record keepers this?
Yeah.
For you, if you want a simple phrase.
Yeah.
Or even do whatever you want.
Right. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to have a mildly mocking tone, but it's out of respect.
Is it?
It is, because it's, for me, it's fun to play with different words, but it doesn't mean they're stupid in my mind. Mm-hmm. So it's more just riffing on the concept of like, yeah, lords of light, masters of the universe, mm-hmm. the creators of the concept, well, or the oneness of the
you
thing.
Will notice that when I'm in the records, my humor will be less.
Yeah, totally.
Because here's why, though. This is interesting. Because from an egoic, individuated human self, which, by the way, that does not mean bad.
Yeah.
People oftentimes associate ego with bad. It isn't.
It just is.
It's separated from other things. So from a more separated place, that's where you can create comedy from.
Right.
But when I'm in the realm of oneness with the record keepers and they're answering, you can laugh all you want or make fun, but we'll probably direct you back to like, what's funny about it?
Right. Because often laughter in comedy is a mask. It is a cover. It is a way of divorcing yourself from feeling truth.
Correct.
It's both a way to get to truth and experiencing truth. And it's also a way of hiding from truth.
Which is so interesting covering about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can close the record, by
the way. Did you have nothing else to ask?
No.
Okay, great. I think that was good.
Yeah.
That was a good starter step.
Do you have to do anything?
Yeah. So we just thank all the beings of light, the masters, teachers, loved ones for their love and compassion. We thank the lords of the records for their point of view. We thank God or the spirit of light or the universe for all knowledge and healing. And then we say the records are now closed. Amen. The records are now closed. Amen.
Amen.
The records are now closed. Amen.
Records are now closed. Amen.
And so, you know, I do feel inclined to say for people listening that Even the use of the word amen could do a lot. By the way, we've said 90 things in this podcast already that I'm like, I know there were many people who could listen who were like, A, I said the word God a lot. Yeah, B, the word amen.
Yep.
All the other fucking words, spirit of light, whatever, that will trigger the shit out of some people.
Yeah.
And that's, you're going to have to decide if you want to listen or not.
Right.
Because you're either someone who can hear those words or not. But that being said, to clarify, this word amen is not being stated because this is a Christian practice, but some of the metaphysicians who created this kind of work, or you should say channeled this kind of work, or received it, or got tapped in this way, came from Christian lineages. Mm-hmm. So the word amen is put in there because this lady who wrote this prayer, who channeled it from her, through her own filters, the word amen came through for her as the way to say, I honor you with solemn reverence over that which created everything.
Something like, let it be and so it is, or something like that, I believe.
According to some people.
Yeah.
But I'm addressing the people who are hearing this going, like, why did you say a Christian word?
Right. Why is it a Christian prayer? Why don't you close it with Abrahamic religions?
Exactly. And so a lot of the metaphysical sort of teachings and energy stuff came through people who were Christian originally.
Right.
Or who are Christian mystics.
Christian mystics.
Yeah. So there's going to be some of that language. So
some of the language. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean, and it actively does not mean, there are any humans for whom this is not. In other words, it's not like the word amen is there, therefore we can't read for Arabic people, or we can't read for Muslims, or we can't read for Hindu people, or we can't read for atheists, or whatever.
Right.
We can do anything for anybody, and it's all available.
Right.
The word amen is just because of who it came through.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good clarification.
You're welcome. So I feel like we're wrapping up.
Well, I wanted to give a couple of minutes just because we introduced an idea.
Yeah.
And I feel like possibly the reason for the whole podcast is to introduce an idea and then discuss that idea.
Great.
And the idea that we introduced, I just wanted to touch on it before, you know, and it's probably more for a future podcast, but like the launching idea is that of like, what is our relationship to the parallel existence, not just parallel, but merged and unified existence.
Integral.
The integrated existence of spirituality
Yeah.
In and also and and creativity. And
yeah.
Like, how does that exist for both of us?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the topic.
That is.
Weirdly, that is, and we're not going to go on for another hour,
no.
But that would be in another episode, the topic of the entire episode.
Could be.
Or maybe that's the topic of the entire podcast.
I think that's, so that's the problem. That's like the super objective of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it'll weave its way through as we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll always be present and we'll see how it appears in each episode.
Right. But yeah, I had an experience recently, a couple of years ago. I was involved with somebody who was involved in a 12-step program, and I was asking them what they thought, like where I was sort of getting to the root of the concept of faith, which I have always struggled with, because faith at a certain point, and I've had this revelation multiple times in my life, and I just have to rehab it.
Yeah.
Where my logical brain, my need for evidence brain says, doesn't faith exist on a realm beyond that? And like, and I've always struggled with blind faith, especially with certain types of religionists.
Right. Of course.
Where you're like, your faith is a lie and it's based on
a delusional
space.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't doing that with this person, but I was like, and the day I had that conversation and they told me just, you know, at its root, it is a feeling of like needing it to just, I don't remember what they said, but they were just sort of expressing that it exists.
Okay.
That it's a necessary feeling thing in oneself in order to proceed at all in a spiritual realm.
Okay.
And then I was in a show and we had a talk back after that show. And most talkbacks after plays suck. They're the worst. This one was not. This was possibly the best talkback I've ever been part of. The audience was giving us insights into our own play on such a high level of like psychological and spiritual analysis that we were sitting on stage, jaw on the floor. Like, what is going on out there? Do we have a room full of high-level psychologists and spiritualists that are analyzing what we just delivered that we thought was a kind of cute play? Anyway, and within that, someone asked the question, or someone described something about the necessity of theater as a way of processing our grief and telling stories as an important factor to processing anything, you know, spiritual or emotional or psychological, and getting to the root of things, and that we tell stories in order to do that.
Right.
And that's something I believe. And I went, I have no proof of that as a true thing. Fuck that. I don't know.
You have no proof that stories
matter,
but you believe
it. But I deeply believe it.
Wow.
And then someone asked the question, a question I've never had asked in a talk back. Because it was a story about having revelations in this play, you know, discovering parts of yourself. And they asked, did you, in working on this play, asked to all of us, have any discoveries about yourself or, you know, the sort of topic of, and I had to speak up because I was like, right now, thanks to you, but it's part of the process of this play was me discovering
I have faith
this moment.
Stories.
But it was weird because it was super meta because they asked me that question. And I was like, but it just happened
right now,
right this second, like 30 seconds ago when that person talked about stories being important and me realizing that I believe that and that I have no proof of that. So that was that's just one of those moments of, for me, a very deep truth of that there is no separation between spirit and creative, because they are the same thing.
I love this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. God, that's such a cool thing. Thank you for sharing that. That's a Cassidy faith moment.
Yeah.
I love that. Question is, when you say, but I have no proof, what do you mean?
I have no scientific analysis. I could cite studies that have been done that say that we are healthier when we tell stories. I'm sure that those exist. But at my core, I just believe it.
Right.
And I will argue it with somebody.
Right.
Most of the things I argue, I feel like I want to have numbers or facts or things backing it up, or at least experiential backup for it.
But would it be fair to say that you believe stories matter and have faith in that fact because of some feelings you have about stories? Feelings,
and also because of experience. Clearly it's from experience.
Right.
And I think that's where like faith isn't unbased. I feel like faith is based.
Correct. In experience.
I hope for most people who claim to have faith.
Correct.
Some form of faith. I don't believe that is true for all. I think some people take it directly from a dogmatic point of view that totally. Is not based in their actual experience. But I can't speak to that right now because they're not in front of me.
I've known a lot of, for example, Christians, straight Christians, which I'm not, who have direct Gnostic experience of Jesus Christ itself. Uh-huh. We're just like, oh, I know Jesus deep in my heart. We're yeah. tight. And they have, and they'll tell you stories of what it felt like when they first met right. Jesus or had him in their heart or whatever. And that, when I started to understand that in my journey years and years ago of like, oh, all those people aren't just dogma following right. sheep people. Those are people who are having real visceral experiences of their own
right.
that then lead to a faith because of experience. I'm just speaking to yeah. a different
my faith
form
just doesn't
of it.
Well, it has a lot of books written about it, I guess.
It sure does. Yeah.
And I never read any of them.
Everything that, you know, Jung and everything that, what's his name? The Collective Unconscious, Jung yeah. and the other guy, I can't think of it right now, wrote was about the value of myth and the value of story.
Yeah.
And how
Campbell,
thank you. And the collective unconscious and just the archetypes. And we can get right. into that in another podcast, yeah. but like it's been written yeah. about extensively.
It's funny because when you describe the thing about, you know, people will have trouble understanding that spirituality and creativity are not just linked, but
one
exist.
Yeah.
They're just different words for different aspects of a thing.
Yes.
I was like, duh. So I don't, so it's challenging me for even to like apply thought to that because I feel like the word creativity is already a spiritual word.
Mm, interesting.
Because it doesn't have a concrete
origin.
Yeah. It doesn't have a physical necessarily like here
reality.
It exists. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist specifically as, you know, a scientific process or a mathematical process or
right.
even a verbal linguistic. It is a feeling. It is a flow. It is an energy.
Right.
It is a mental heart. It's an integrated concept.
Right.
And it's integrated throughout the entire being.
I think we just did it, Cassidy.
All right.
I think your faith share, your testimony.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
For anybody in any spiritual practice, those are the words we just happen to choose.
You're going to apologize so much.
Oh, God, I'm such an apologizer.
I
you
so
guys.
Don't ever.
You'll get used to it and I'll get better at it. I'm sorry for apologizing.
We did it. Let's high five.
That was the sound of us high fiving.
Thank you for listening. We're excited to continue. I can't wait to see the conversations that unfold and who we're going to bring on and talk with next. Love you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.